Your Bible to John chapter 14. Go down to verse 12. I want to read a few scriptures here. Can you say there's more? I believe there's more. I believe God has more. I believe I'm included in that equation. Do you believe that? I believe there's more, and I believe I'm included in that equation. As a child of God, if you don't believe that, I want you to believe that. I want you to believe that you're usable, that God has something that He will accomplish through you. Chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, "Most assuredly," this is Jesus speaking, "most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." As he's revealing himself to his disciples right here, this is an area that is actually marked as they truly start believing that he is the Christ. That there's some things like on Sunday mornings, our faith can be higher than it is during other times in the work, if we're honest. Other times during the week, if we're honest with each other, there's something very encouraging about coming together and worshiping God. But how about being in the presence of Jesus and understanding that this is something that's going on, and we that believe are in the minority. You understand they were in the minority. And here's the thing, that it wasn't that they were in the minority about believing in a Messiah. Most of those people believed the Messiah would come. They just believed Jesus was not the Messiah. And here's the other thing that doubled down in their area of confusion. He came talking about dying. Their idea of Messiah was one that would come and set up kingdom and live forever. And wait a second, you're doing these miracles, but you're saying you're going to die. Do you see the twist in that? And we know the stories because we've got to read the stories and we've got to hear them preached. And there's a lot that we are just, honestly, we're desensitized to. As we were singing these songs this morning and we're talking about, you know, he opened up prison doors. He really did that. Nobody had a key the key that opened prison doors, he didn't use that. He just did what he did and they opened up. And that was predicated on a praise that went forth. They were praising God in the middle of the night, and suddenly, not only did the doors of the prison open, their chains fell off. How about that? That really happened. And it's easy to just read that story. Yeah, and at midnight, they were worshiping, and all of a sudden, the prison doors opened, and the chains fell off, and on to the next thing. Do we understand what happened? Understand that there were storms on a sea and a boat, and not some mer cruiser that we got now, some wooden boat in the middle of lightning and waves and crashing, and all of a sudden they see Jesus and he looks like a ghost to them. Can I tell you that the culture, they believed in spiritual things back then? They thought it was a ghost. And that's what I love about Jesus. And Jesus would have passed them by. They're struggling. They're his. They belong to him. Everything that you go to is not an urgent care for Jesus to get there to you right now. there's sometimes he'll let you walk some things out so that you'll find his glory in a minute. It'll mean more to you then than it did now. Amanda, where's Amanda? Right there. Sat out in the car this morning. She said, I had a migraine that I would put on a level 9. I guess we're on a scale of 9 to up to 10, right? So you were at 9. She said, I heard the music. I came in. I had to go to the bathroom because, how many of you know, migraines and loud music and lights, they don't get along. But her faith brought her in, and she came up to me weeping. She said, Pastor, it's gone. It's gone. He's the God that still does that kind of thing. Now, what if he would have healed her in the parking lot? He could have. What if he had healed her at home? He could have. But he let her come into some loud music because we like it loud, right? We like it loud. You may come here hearing, you may leave deaf. Okay. I like it loud. I sit right here. Sometimes I noticed this morning, I do it because it kind of blocks. I'm a big boy. I block some of the sound, but by the time worship was over, I was all the way over here. Did y'all see that? Like, we ain't paying attention to you. We sing these songs, and there are things that happen. I was listening to someone that I really appreciate this morning. I've not met this man. And actually, some of Christine's family is part of his congregation. I said, I want to know this man. Man, this guy, I love to hear him preach. But he said, you know, we have so many miracles in a day's time, we don't even recognize. Because why? We're looking for the big ones. That breath I took 5 minutes ago, that was a miracle. That was his oxygen. These are his lungs. Everything is his. We'll miss it. We'll miss it easily. So it's saying right here that the disciples are just starting to really get this. And now he's telling them things. He said, these works that I do, you'll do greater works. That is translated, more extraordinary, more wonderful of things that are felt. There's a scripture where Jesus says, the things that I do, you'll do, and that I do them, and men marvel over them. It's talking about there are some things that could happen through the belief. I told you to start with, I got to believe that it's not done yet. I got to believe there's more past me just getting saved. I got to believe that there are some marvelous things that could happen, and I could be a part of it. Giving him the glory, for sure, 100%. But we're not really at that level where that would be a common. I'm believing that those things can happen. I'm believing that those things not just can happen, but they will happen. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That word is translated to comforter. He's talking about the blessed Holy Spirit. I told somebody this morning, we were talking about God. I said, I feel a goosebump. But the goosebump, the Holy Spirit's not a goosebump. He will give you, I will pray the Father. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amazing scripture right here. There are other scriptures where it mentions this, and he says, I'm going away. I must go away. I must go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. There's another work that's going to take place. But he can't come until, in his fullness, he can't come until I leave. But I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you fatherless. I will send another gift from my Father, another part of my Father. It's what he's saying. This is different than the Old Testament. The same Holy Spirit would come down in power, and it would rest on someone, and it would visit, and it would work mighty wonders through them, and then it would be lifted, it would be gone again. And I said last week, we're bad about praying for the Holy Spirit to come down, when the truth is, He's already down. He's down. When Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus, one of His infallible proofs was that, and He had a lot of them, but He made Himself manifest. He appeared to His disciples. He appeared to people. There were people that many miracles came forth from Jesus. And for a period of 40 days after He was resurrected, He was here. And then He told them, He said, I'm going to the Father. And He gave them specific instructions that we'll talk about in a second. And then a period of 10 days passed. Well, all that means something. The 40 days plus the 10 days equals 50 days. 50 is where we get the word Pentecost from. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days past the Passover. So it was a marked time. There's other scriptures that talk about Pentecost, and while I'm dealing with that, I'm not completely diving into that this morning, but I want to go down to verse 27. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. So He's talking to people who are alive, and He's talking to people that presently are seeing things. But He's talking about in the natural. You're seeing things, you're living, but you're going to be different from those that are seeing things. They won't see me. He just got through saying, they can't see me. They don't believe in me. I won't be real to them, but I'll be real to you. That's what He's saying. Because I live, you will live. The world will see me no more, but you will see me. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's drawing a connection that includes us that believe. Can you say I'm included? He who has my commands, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That word manifest is translated as reveal. I will love him and reveal myself to him. So that's predicated upon us loving him, knowing him, and obeying him. Obeying him. Verse 22, I'm going to go down in this reading, I'm going to go down to verse 27. Judas, not Iscariot, a different disciple, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest or reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. But the Helper, that in and of itself describes one of his first jobs to you, help you. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? In this world, Jesus said this, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You need the help of the Holy Spirit for the troubles that you're going to face. This life is full of troubles. It's full of them. To the real people, this life is full of troubles. Amen? It's okay to say that, but we take heart because he has overcome this world. Psalm 23 talks about his namesake. It says that he will lead us into paths of righteousness for his namesake. Paths of righteousness for his namesake. There are things that we will go through and it won't look like something that everybody else goes through because they can't all fit on that path. A path has to do mainly with it's like one trail. And many can go in it, but they got to go in a line. For his name's sake. There are many things, if we're not careful. Here's the thing about today's modern religion. We've made it fit into the culture so it looks just like everything else so that everybody else can receive it. When the truth of God's word is that it's relevant now, like it was relevant then, like it will always be relevant. But there's something inside us that says, let's just smooth it. I mean, it's getting kind of rough out there. Let's make it easy for everybody. We got to get our mindset right. I'm not trying to call people out. I'm really not. But there are some things that happen in the ministry level. And I'll just tell you, as a preacher, I get thrown in with all preachers. So as a preacher, I think I at least get a voice for preachers. Don't define me. I'll define myself. My actions will define me. Just because we do the same thing in essence doesn't mean that we're all the same people. And it also doesn't mean that there's a special rule for me either. And it definitely doesn't mean that I'm sorry, I just preach right here to y'all all the time. I want you to know I'm preaching to y'all too. It definitely doesn't mean that I get a special pass, that I get a special, and especially I don't get to change any of it. I get to change none of it. I get to preach it, and I better be living it. Better be living it. But there's this thing about this best life that we need to be living now. Living a best life now. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I'm going to tell you the truth. As believers, we've got to see this thing right. To the unbeliever, the very best life you can live is happening right now. To the unbeliever, the best life you can possibly live is right now. But to the believer, the best life that I can live is still yet to come. I want to be clear on that. That's why I need the Holy Spirit to help me through the life that's not the best life. I'm living my life now. And believe me, you probably think that I'm talking about one person. I'm not. You can Google your best life and you'll be shocked at how many people are writing books on that. Why? Because people want to hear it. People want to hear it. People want to hear it. What is one of the first things? One of the first things to say, oh yeah, you need to be presenting the very best version of you. I don't know how to do that. I can be me. That's the best I can do. The very best version of me is just how I will act in front of you if I think you're looking. Because we're still dealing with a me here. Just like you're dealing with a you there. Can we just be honest? There are sometimes our behavior is better because it's more on display than other times. That's why we have friends that we can let our hair down if you got hair. If you got it. Do you understand what I'm saying with that? What we better be looking at is that this is temporary. In my life in Christ, I lay this thing down. Everything. My dreams, my hopes, now they become His. And if I ever want to get to the place where He's using me in a sense of greater things, well, let's just follow out more scriptures that would support that, supporting scriptures. He must increase, I must decrease. If He must increase, what happens to me? If I must decrease, what happens to Him? So what would that people would see more of Him than they would of me. But if everything I do for Him has to be a photo op for everybody to see me doing for Him, well, there's my reward right there, according to. I promise you I'm not even near where I was going to preach, so I'll try to get back to it. Allow me to catch myself up. The best version of me is not me. The best version of me is Christ in me. That's the best version. That's the goal. That's the me decreasing, Him increasing. This is the best life the unbeliever will ever know. To the believer, this is the worst life that they will ever know. But the best is yet to come. Have you ever been to a ball game and your team starts losing? I've been to ball games where it was a blowout. It's usually watching somebody else, not Clemson. Move right past that, just so you know. Maybe I was watching a team like West Virginia or something, I don't know. Okay, I'll bring it back. But what's disturbing is that you see a team getting blown out, and all of a sudden, fans start leaving the stadium, giving up. Maybe next time we'll get them. I'm going to get out of this parking lot now before the mad rush happens. And the stands start. I remember leaving a game one time. It wasn't my team. It was y'all's team up in Virginia, and your husband took me to it. And we started leaving. Wow, I'm kind of crucifying myself right here. Just realized that. We started leaving. And from the parking lot, we heard these incredible cheers. We knew it wouldn't come from the other side. That's our, what's left of the home team is cheering. So somebody's still up there believing in the thing. So we quickly got on the radio and listened, and our team starts coming back. Our team starts coming back, and all of a sudden I'm wishing I was there to see what I had just left. Wasn't worried about having to wait in the parking lot. We'd have been smiling, happy, and all this good stuff. But there are people that play the game, that believe in their team still so much, when these things start going, like in baseball, they'll turn their hats upside down and start looking all kinds of goofy, and they call it a rally cap, and they're still believing. We're getting blown out, but we can still beat y'all down to the last out. I don't want to have the type of mentality that's given up on God when He's right there the whole time. Now, if it's just my team, yeah, they might get beat. They might get blown out. Clemson Tigers, anybody. They might get wore out like they did by Alabama. Let's just be honest. But they're not God. They're not God, and I'm not going to make them a God. Here's the thing. But why then, Christians? Why does trouble come, and Jesus said trouble would come, And he said, in this life, you will have trouble. He was just telling the truth. Right? Sometimes the very first thing the truth does is offend you. You don't want to hear that. And as wonderful believers, when trouble comes, many times we're guilty of saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? It's happened to me. Have you ever done it? I've done it. God, where are you? Where are you? And then when I realized I left the game early and something wonderful happened, I get very disappointed in myself. God, why did I let my faith fall? Why did my faith? But Jesus is used to that. He saw it with his disciples. Oh, ye of little faith, do you not believe yet? What? Even what he just got through telling them right there. Now you're believing? What's the breakdown? You have little faith. Instead of realizing what the answer is always in his word. You will have trouble. But what did it say about it in the Old Testament? He is very present in the time of trouble. Very present. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. In the time of trouble, it's not time to say, God, where are you? It's time to open your spiritual eyes and say, God, you're right here. You're right here right now. Not just is he here. He's particularly there for you. According to Scripture, it says, he is a very present help in time of trouble. Is anybody an English teacher? English study? English? Right there. What does very mean? I'll put you on the spot. What does very mean? V-E-R-Y.
A lot.
You teach first grade then, right? Just kidding. It is an adjective that gives emphasis to a noun, right? I should have been I was about to say I should have been an English teacher. Now you know why I failed English. So it was a verb, but it was an adverb. So, I mean, you know, it got the bonus. You know, it got to wear the fancy hat. Adverb. Oh, look at you. The rest of us are just verbs. You're an adverb. Okay. Sorry. Very present. I guess that. I'm still seeing it as an adjective. I got that good old Southern advanced English. Regardless, it means more. It means a greater amount. For God, who is everything, to be very anything. Just get a picture of that real quick. God, we're believers here. We recognize him as everything. He's my everything. And for my everything to be very anything. It says that he is very present in the time of trouble. Why would I mistake that? How far off am I? If he's not just present, he's very present. It would be to this level. Now, if y'all don't know, this is my wife. Where's Christine? Hey, Miss Fair, where's Christine? Have you seen her? Amanda, have you seen my wife? David, somebody please tell me where she's at. She's going to turn me back into a frog. I can't preach if I'm riveting. How ridiculous is that? But how ridiculous are we if we're saying, God, where are you? And he's right there. His scripture says, behold, I'll do a new thing. Will you not know it? Will you not? It's possible for God to be right there. And we're saying, where are you? Because we're trying to see something that this eye won't show us. But there's an eye that knows. Why? because he will reveal himself to us. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Many churches today is not welcome. We don't just sing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. I was going to get into Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. Jesus just got through what I read up to this point. He said, I'm telling you, I'm going to send him to you. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, there's so many wonderful things about the Holy Spirit. And I've been asking God for the right time, and I believe it's now, to talk about him more. But there's something so precious about God that he wants to have situations for you that if you'll be patient, you will realize that your answer was God and nothing else, nobody else. In that process, as a human, you'll feel very alone. You'll feel very troubled. You'll have questions. You'll need guidance. But he's a guide. You'll need help. He's the helper. You'll need comfort. He's the comforter. I believe he does that so that the human part of me begins to bend to the spiritual side that recognizes it could have only been him that helped me. I'm very cautious about the Holy Spirit. I grew up I don't want to be mean in what I say. I promise you. I want to be kind in what I say. But the Holy Spirit is not a badge that I wear that makes me better than any other believer because I speak in tongues. It's not. It's not. It's not. That would cheapen it so much, to say the least.
Amy, would you come on up here? We asked Amy if she would share something so precious with her church body that happened in her life and in service. And we've been talking the last few weeks about new wineskins and how God is doing new things in us. The same God things, but he's doing them in different ways. And on Wednesday night during our prayer time, God gave us a visual of He's calling his people to stop going down the paths that have been trodden by the religious world for so long. God moves this way. He does it this way. He says it that way. This is how we do it. And get your machetes out, because we're doing a new thing. And it's not a path that's already been trod. It is a path that God is saying, I want my people, my remnant people, to do. I'm calling you to do it a way maybe that you've never seen before. Not you to do it, but me in you. To reach people, to receive me and the word that I'm saying right now. So in line with that, just this precious way that the Lord has ministered to Amy.
I'll preface with saying I grew up in a church where, I don't want to speak badly at all because precious people, but I felt like I grew up there from as a child all the way till several years ago, and it was very, very big on the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues, and I felt like it got really shoved down my throat, and I saw a lot of flesh. I saw a lot of come to the front, you get pushed down, everything's a big scene, it's a big and I didn't want that. I just wanted Jesus. And so I was really turned off, not of the Holy Spirit himself, but of that gift, because of the way that I felt like it was presented. Like if you didn't have that and you weren't doing it, then you were not anybody is how it felt to me, especially as a teenager. And so I just had nothing to do with it at all. I love the Lord. But that gift, I just, nothing to do with that. And fast forward now, I've been here, I think, four years, something like that. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is just so precious, and this church is just shown to me in a different way. But maybe about a month and a half ago, I was just at home, just in my prayer time, just alone with Jesus. And out of nowhere, I just felt like the soft, gentle voice of the Lord just sitting there in my time was just brought up, the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And I was like, ugh, Lord, you know that I just don't have a good experience with that. And I remember sitting there and I was like, you're going to have to help me with this, because I've got a really bad perception of what that is. And now the Lord's just slowly been wooing me in that, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that I needed that in my life. And about 2 weeks later, we had youth group, and it was Mr. Allen's night to talk. And he spoke to the teenagers about the gift of the Holy Spirit and that prayer language and that special time with God. And I knew if the Lord wasn't speaking to a single teenager that night, he was talking to me. I'm sitting there like a sponge, taking in every word he was saying, because for the first time in my life, I had heard it for years and years and years, but it connected. It was so precious and so simple, but powerful and intimate. And I spoke to him afterwards and said, the Lord's been speaking to me about this. This is crazy that you just talked about this. And he gave me a little pamphlet to read about the Holy Spirit. And I went home and I began reading through the book of Acts in my personal time with God, just like, okay, you know, this is a book about the Holy Spirit. So, you know, Lord, just reveal yourself to me. Show yourself to me. Like, you're wooing me in this. I need to understand. And I just began to step out in faith. Sometimes I was sitting there at the kitchen doing the dishes, and it was just like, do it, Amy. Step out in faith. And I just, one little syllable came out. One little syllable, and I felt like a little baby just babbling to the Lord. And but it was powerful. It was powerful.
Yes.
And I'd be in my car, and I went from a place of not wanting anything to do with the Holy Spirit to being in the car saying, Jesus, will you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? I want this. I need this. I want to get past my head. Yes. And I want to pray the will of God that I don't know how to pray in my flesh. And I'd be driving down the road just praying that one little syllable. And it sounds silly, and there are moments I felt really dumb, but I was like, it doesn't matter. It's Jesus, and he doesn't care how I look right now. And then now, last Sunday, when we were in here, and I was just sitting there in worship, and I'm just surrendering to God. I'm just hungry. I'm just hungry for Jesus and just surrendering everything to him. And I opened my mouth to say my one little syllable to the Lord, and it just came. It just came, and it came, and it came, and it came. And it was like, oh, it was just like so much that I had that I didn't know how to say to God. It just all came out, and it was so powerful and so precious and so intimate, because the Lord knows I don't like attention. I don't like being the center of the show, so I'm not somebody who wants to come up here and have somebody push me down and make a big scene. I just wanted the intimacy with the Lord. Yes. And he met me in my seat last
yes,
week
thank you.
With my hands raised and my heart surrendered. And he just met me, and it just came. And this week I've been able to just be wherever I am, or in my prayer time, or whatever I'm doing, and just been able to open my mouth and just pray in a different way. And it's just been really intimate that God took me from a place of being not scared of that, but just, I don't know, numb, I don't really know the word, just really like turned off, because I had an incorrect perception of it. I didn't have clear understanding. But when he wooed me, and he called
yes.
me, and he showed me in
yes.
his word, and was patient with me, and through other vessels that I trusted, that he came so beautifully and so powerfully. And I know that that's real, and I know that it's special and it's intimate. And I'm just so thankful that Jesus did that for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for that, Amy. That's what I'm talking about. That right there. That experience, she can pin that on no one else except for her and God. How authentic
yes.
is that? How easy would that be to defend? A man with an argument will always be at the mercy of a man with an experience. Her experience through that wasn't that somebody else, and not that it couldn't happen. Someone could lay hands on you and that could happen. But for her, he customized that situation to fit what Amy needed to see about her God and the
Thank
power
you,
of his Holy Spirit in her.
Yes,
Lord. I'm telling you, what he's a helper. If I have help, I have an advantage. If I have comfort while I'm going through the hardest thing, I've got an advantage. Well, what if I don't have comfort and I'm going through what if I don't have help? What if I don't have a guide? He is one of his things, his first things is the Holy Spirit. He's a guide. And he says, I'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. He did not say, I'll do it because I love you. He said, I'll do it for my name's sake. That speaks to the very essence and the goodness of God. Way past his love for you. His love for you is included in that. But there's some things that he does just for his name's sake. I forgot about this till one of y'all said something about past. I brought them, obviously. I brought them. And I hid them back here because I didn't know if I'd use them or not. My wife said something about Wednesday's prayer. I wasn't here. Said something about machetes.
Where'd you get those?
Oh, those are real. And I bought this one because I lost that one until I realized I just put it somewhere. Machete. Machetes. Real machetes. I just so you know, that lady just left. She ain't mad at all. She told me beforehand, I got to go. I said, I'm going to tell everybody you was mad. Didn't I? You were sitting there, Miss Shirley Jones. She's the only one here I think I call their whole name, Miss Shirley Jones. Miss Shirley Jones, that's such a cool name. But like I said, when I found this one again, I'm like, well, Cheap John, why did you buy that one? Well, it does kind of look cool. But David, now you be careful, young man. You go over there. David, you're going to be God. You're going to be Jesus. I'm going to be John. And I wondered why I brought two machetes this morning. I was just going to bring that one. I reached over in my four-wheeler. It sits in the trunk of my four-wheeler. And I'm like, you got two of them. Bring two of them. And then when I got here, like, I know why I got two of them. Because these paths of righteousness, if I'm just hacking away at it, I'm not the only one that has a sword. He has a sword. And if he starts leading me in paths, I'm just going to be amazed. Well, he's playing the part. He's going to get a Grammy out or whatever this is. A Tony, whatever it's called. You know what I'm going to want to do? Because my father hit one of them. I want to reach out and hit one of them too. I'm going to want to hit one of them too. And all I've got, if he's leading me, I don't even have to have. Except for he says, take my sword of the Spirit. Thank you, David. Take that way. You know what that tells me? If he's leading me and his sword is capable of anything, why would he tell me to keep the sword also? He wants me to look like him. I can tell you from having a son. Is my son in here? He's with the kid. This is how my son is. If I'm doing it, he wants to do it. Why? Because he's my son. Your son might not want to do what I do, but my son wants to do what I do. How many of you boys, men, when you were boys, you would be up on your daddy's tractor. You'd be in his shop. You'd be on his lap. You would be sitting in his lap as he's driving the vehicle. I remember putting my hands down there, and he had showed me how to change gears in the car and on the column. A lot of y'all don't know that. I'm aging myself again. The gear stick used to be on the column of the steering wheel. Oh, yeah. Well, he's old. I'm going to start embracing that more and more. I want to look like him. It's his sword. I just get to hold it.
John, I just wonder if we can do something this morning. You keep talking about how the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, and that's just what happened to Amy. The Holy Spirit led her to the truth. That is a whole lot more powerful than a bunch of words from man. And I need that in my life. And you need that in your life. In whatever area right now you might be struggling in, the Holy Spirit, through His Word and through His wooing, can lead you into all truth. Can we just stand as a church and just spend a minute and ask Him? Just like she did. Holy Spirit, You can lead me into all truth through Your Word, through our time that I create in my life for You. I'm coming with the real things, with the real issues, with the troubles that we talked about. But You, Holy Spirit, lead into all truth. You are the counselor. You are the guide. You are the comfort. Can you just take a few minutes and just open your heart? Wednesday night, it was prophesied over our church that God was going to open our hearts and burn out everything so that we can be for His glory. Can you just ask Him to show you the truth this morning?
I believe there's healing that needs to take place in this room. We live these lives. There's plenty of opportunities for hurt. Plenty of opportunities for division. But I'm just praying healing over you right now. I'm praying healing over this body collectively and individually, Lord. Especially individually, Lord. Thank You, God.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
That we would allow ourselves to be healed.
Yes, yes.
I'm reminded of a man that came to You, Jesus, with an obvious need, and Your answer back to him was, "What do You want me to do for You?" God, help us to desire healing. Help us to want to be healed. Do You want to be made whole? And if You do, will You just ask Him right now, heal me. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Heal me, Lord. Let it start right here with me, Lord. heal me, and then you can heal it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hunger in this building, in this room, when we come together. There is a taste that is being created for more of Him.
Yes.
To those who are at a place of praise, let praise come out of you. To those that are at a place of worship, let worship flow out of you. Creating a taste in something, because we're human, for a taste to be created in us, all we ever even have to do is see someone else eat. So Lord, let us feast on you.
Yes.
Let that create a taste for more, God. You are more than enough. In you, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
It's yet to come. That's why we don't live for our best life now. The best is yet to come. We live towards that. It's where our heart is. It's where our treasure is.
Yes.
It's toward that in you, Lord. As your Holy Spirit begins to move on this church, you speak of the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Yes. Let your fire make a discernment in our lives.
Yes.
Between those things that can enter in and those things that cannot.
Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes. Holy
and burn those things out, God.
Yes, Holy Spirit.
Every critical spirit, every critical spirit, every criticizing word, every mean word, every hurtful word, let it burn out of us. Let it not be in our mouths, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, as we begin to walk down a path of righteousness that you are leading us in, let our feet not go off the path at all. The adventure is in the path, not off of the path. As we follow you, Lord, as we venture towards you, as we obey your leading, as you call us deeper, it is us. It is left up to answer the call. And say, I will go. I will move.
Yes, thank you.
Let us be willing to walk that path of righteousness. I ask you to peel scales off of our eyes to see what we haven't seen.
Yes, thank you.
To become keenly aware that you care about our lives more than just Sunday. That you have a plan for us every day. That you'll lead us every time. We love you, Lord. We trust you. We're hungry for you. the taste that you are creating, we want more of it, Lord.
Yes.
I want more of it, Lord. Will you tell him that? I want more of it, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more. We want more. There is more in you. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you for it. Now, if you really want to mature, I'm going to give you an opportunity with this. If you'll ask God to help you keep your eyes just on you and just your actions and just your thoughts, and ask God, sanctify this vessel right here. Not as a comparison to anybody else, but so that you'll be right before Him. We are, after all, human flesh. So easy for us to be pulled away. Your word says, by our own desires. Let our desire be towards you, God, and you alone. Where you're leading, we will follow, Lord. Where you're leading, I will follow. I'll go with you all the way. Would that be your prayer today, God? Folks in this room, will you ask God, where you're leading, I will follow. I will follow. I'll go with you all the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for an increase in faith, God. Thank you for increasing yourself inside of us. Thank you that we are decreasing. Our flesh is decreasing. Our spirit is growing. Let us be overwhelmed by your goodness, Lord, and your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I see expectation in this house. I see it. I'm excited about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.